Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
How excited were Japanese baseball fans to see Big Papi and Manny, not to mention Daisuke and Oki Okajima, performing in the Tokyo Dome? Only a Game's Ken Shulman attended the first two games of the Major League Baseball season that has yet to begin in this hemisphere. And he'll have a report on the games that somehow occurred before they happened on two mornings that were actually evenings in the days or nights preceding the time when the Red Sox and Oakland A's arrived home before they left Japan. Well, let's see if Ken can straighten that out.
Few lands fuse tradition with technology the way Japan does. Shinkansen bullet trains slice through the sacred shadow of Mount Fuji. Buddhist temples stand minutes away from raucous karaoke bars. Baseball, too, is a beguiling mix of old and new, with rituals that are both familiar and foreign to Western eyes.
The amount of effort put into practice is huge. The kinds of things that are called training extend deep into what we would consider our personal time and space.
Mary White is an American anthropologist, currently living in Kyoto, Japan's old capital. She says Japanese players follow rigid regimens and diets and often abstain from alcohol and sex. East is East, and West is West. But the twain do meet in baseball. Second-tier major leaguers have made new lives in Japan since the 60s. More recently, Japanese legends like Hideo Nomo and Ichiro Suzuki crossed the Pacific and established themselves as legitimate major league stars. But White says Japanese wunderkind Daisuke Matsuzaka is a different story.
There's a word here, kawaiko-chan, means cute boy, cute kid. And everybody loves a cute kid. And he's seen as developing. He's seen as at the start of something wonderful. He's not seen as fully mature. He's seen as learning stage. So everybody's following him as if they were following their own child.
Matsuzaka may be a magnet for maternal angst here, but he's also a rock star. And it's not just because of his smile or swagger. Tomoko Matsura is assistant manager at the Clubhouse, an MLB merchandise store that opened last year in Tokyo's hip Shibuya district.
He has a large following of female fans because he became famous and went overseas when he was still young. Yes, he's very cute, but most of all, we can tell he's working very hard. That's what we like about him.
Teen idol or Spartan icon, Boston's $103 million baby didn't get much love from the Oakland Athletics on Tuesday. More surprisingly, the sellout Tokyo Dome crowd seemed almost indifferent. There was no thunderous ovation when he took the hill, no sunburst of digital flashes all firing at once. It sure didn't feel like the return of the prodigal Kawaiko-chan, especially after Oakland's Mark Ellis drove Daisuke's third pitch into the left center seats. But maybe it was the company he was keeping. American expat Marty Kienert is an executive with the Rakuten Eagles, a team in Japan's Pacific League. He was a play-by-play announcer in Japan for 25 years.
Well, with Japanese players, they know the history of the guys much better than the American players. You know, these guys that are fans here have seen the players since they've been in the Koshien tournament when they're, you know, first year in high school. And then if they happen to go on to college, they follow their careers in college. And then they go into pro ball. So they know the history there. They really know who these people are long before they became professionals. The hardcore group here in Japan that likes Major League Baseball probably only knows about these guys from the time they get into pro ball and only after they've become stars.
Japanese fans are thrilled when homegrown stars earn top billing and top dollar in Seattle and New York and Boston. Still, they prefer their baseball because it's their baseball. The annual summer Koshien High School Tournament, where Daisuke first vaulted onto the national stage in 1998, draws huge TV audiences here. Those hardcore Japanese fans who tune into MLB broadcasts do so mainly to watch Japanese players. In Japanese sports pages, the Seattle Mariners don't beat Anaheim. Ichiro does. For most fans here, North American baseball is like a foreign film, with Japanese players for subtitles. The MLB may well be better than the domestic brand, but it's hard to care about. The MLB season opener was far from pretty and far from Japanese, but it was exciting, with several lead changes, several defensive gems, and even some sloppy base running. Most importantly, despite the culture shock, despite the spring training cobwebs, the teams refused to quit. Strength of will is a Japanese virtue, too. When Boston reliever Hideki Okajima came on with the score tied at 4-4 at the top of the ninth, the dome was rocking. When Manny, just being Manny Ramirez, almost forgot to run to second on a two-run double in the 10th, the crowd went berserk. They weren't necessarily rooting for Boston. They were rooting for heart, something that both teams had shown, and that can never be lost in translation. The Tokyo crowd might not have been able to read the lyrics of this American melodrama, but they got enough of the story to want to sing along. For Only a Game, I'm Ken Schulman in Tokyo, Japan.
Ken Schulman's story from Tokyo will be featured in Saturday's show, unless the show is already over. I'll also talk with Tim Kirkchen about some of the teams that will be starting the baseball season the old-fashioned way, by playing here in the United States, and I'll be speaking with Professor Alan Klein, who's written a book about Major League Baseball's efforts to globalize the game, partially for fun, but mostly for profit. I don't think I'm giving anything away there, am I? Of course, we'll also be updating the NCAA basketball tournaments, in which form continues to prevail. I'll be speaking with Michelle Smith of the San Francisco Chronicle about the likelihood of that continuing as the women's tournament moves beyond the Sweet 16. We'll have a story about the new Major League Soccer team in Philadelphia. That's a team that has lots of enthusiastic fans, even though it won't have players for quite some time. So join us, and remember, you can always listen to the program at our website, onlyagame.org.